I am just going to make an introduction, and primarily only because there are a couple of you who our consultants will be new faces for. Brianna Murray and Holly Kochi are our lobbyists or our government relations consultants, and they help us with the work that we do in Olympia and sometimes some consultation on other topics related to state law. So I'm going to turn it over to them. They have a presentation on what happened in the 2022 session and probably a little bit about what might be expected coming forward. But
excellent. And Brianna, I hope you enjoyed Mother's Day.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. I did. It was wonderful. My little boy, who, for those of you who don't know, I'm an almost two-year-old. He made a very nice heart-shaped, lots of fingerprints and finger paint that then ended up dyeing a lot of clothing various colors for me. It was wonderful. Anyway, good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm Brianna Murray. I'm a Vice President with Gordon Thomas Honeywell Government Affairs. I'm joined by my colleague, Holly Kochi. And thank you so much for the introduction, Mr. Jones. As Mr. Jones mentioned this evening, we're here to provide you with an overview of the 2022 legislative session, an outcome of your 2022 state legislative priorities that you all as a council adopt each year, and then talking about next steps and where the legislature is going. It's my understanding that you all have heard from the senator and representatives in the 42nd, so some of this will be a repeat. We work with your 42nd district legislators in advancing the city's adopted legislative priorities. And this evening, our presentation is going to be very focused on those specific legislative priorities that you all tasked us to work with them and other members of the legislature on. So with that, I'm going to dive right into an overview of the 2022 legislative session. The legislature operates on a two-year cycle. There's a first year of the legislative session that's referred to as the long session or a budget year. And then the second year of the session is a short session. And there tend to be making budget amendments during the short session, scheduled to only last 60 days. The 2022 session was the second year of that two-year cycle and was a 60-day short session. Both the 2021 and the 2022 legislative sessions were conducted almost entirely virtually, which made for a unique environment, not just for legislators, but for you all as stakeholders and for us as your lobbyists. The legislature has adopted new redistricting maps.
Not without incident.
Yes, not without incident, but adopted nonetheless. And so there are new districts that are now in effect at the end of this legislative session. The legislature in their short 60-day session focused on adopting supplemental operating capital and transportation budgets. The likely two-year legislative cycle, the legislature adopts a biennial budget and three different budgets at that. And operating, capital, and transportation. So in the short session, what they're really doing is going into those three biennial budgets, those 3 2-year budgets, and making amendments mid-cycle. The legislature also adopted a transportation revenue package, which we'll go into a bit more detail here shortly, and a total of 297 new bills were signed into law during the 2022 session. I will note that in the course of a two-year cycle, all bills introduced in the first year of the cycle automatically carry over to the second year, and then additional bills are introduced during the second year. That results in over 2,000 bills being under consideration. So it's a lot of different proposals, a lot of different ideas that are under consideration. The process is designed to make it hard for a bill to pass into law. And so of those 2,000 different proposals, 297 made it across the finish line. Because the legislature dedicates, especially in a short session, a significant amount of energy to their budget development and adjustments, I want to just dive in a little bit deeper into the three budgets. The city's adopted legislative priorities also tend to have a lot of nexus with these budgets. So this is really good background and context information for you all. So unlike the city, which has an operating and a capital budget, the state has an operating budget, a capital budget, and a transportation budget. The operating budget funds all the state agency operations. So as you think about Department of Ecology, Department of Social and Human Services, Department of Health, all of those agencies are funded within that operating budget. Additionally, K through 12 education and the state's community college and technical programs at four-year universities are funded out of that operating budget. The capital budget funds construction projects that are not transportation related. This looks like the construction of school buildings, the construction of state agency buildings. It is also the budget where there is a whole series of local and community projects that are funded each year. And we as a city and your state legislative priorities often task us with securing funding for the Blaine community within this capital budget. The third budget is the transportation budget, and it is specifically for transportation. One thing that's important to note is capital and transportation are very clearly two separate buckets of funds. That's different than you all here at the city level, where those sometimes fall within the same buckets. So for transportation projects, they have to go through the transportation budget. They can't not go through the capital budget. The operating budget is the budget that you hear about most frequently in the media. This is the one where you'll see headlines that say state revenues significantly increase or state revenues significantly plummet. This is the operating budgets where you see most of those headlines coming from. This year, uniquely, the legislature had an excess of revenue within their budget, and they had that excess of revenue in the mid-cycle. So as they were making amendments to the biennial budget, they were making additions this year rather than subtractions. They had $1.4 billion just from a rosier than expected revenue forecast, and then an additional $1 billion in federal COVID-19 relief funding from the federal government. Their total budget that was adopted was $63 billion. Of that, $2 billion was shifted over to the transportation budget, and they did hold $812 million in revenues and reserves. The city does benefit from several of the buckets of money within the operating budget. This last session, we saw some specific investments for grant programs for GMA planning, a body-worn camera grant program, rental assistance and landlord mitigation, utility arrearages, several different pots of money that the city can tap into and access for various purposes. The capital budget was not as much revenue available. The capital budget is funded with bonds that are taken out against a portion of the operating budget. They did not issue new bonds for a mid-cycle capital budget. Instead, there was simply an expenditure of federal funds and a small amount of bonds that were issued left over from last year. So we saw a total budget of $1.5 billion. That's about half the size of the overall biennial budget. And of that, $62 million was allocated to local and community projects. The transportation budget was where we saw a lot of fireworks, a lot of action. There was not a lot of revenue available within the transportation budget going into the 2022 cycle. In fact, the legislature was going to have to make some cuts if they did not take action in the 2022 session. So the legislature put together a package of investments without including a gas tax increase. That package of investments relied on $2 billion from the operating budget, so a transfer from one budget to the other. And then in the 2021 session, the legislature enacted the Climate Commitment Act, or the Cap and Trade Program, which is anticipated to generate some additional revenues for transportation. They used those revenues as well as federal dollars and increase in a variation of fees to put together what they refer to as the Move Ahead package. That Move Ahead package spent about one third of the revenue on transit, alternative fuel, electric vehicles, active transportation grants for bike pedestrian programs, and two thirds of the revenue dedicated to maintenance and preservation of the state system, new highway projects, fish barrier removal, and addressing project funding gaps. So that's all context around these three budgets. That was probably very overwhelming. But what my hope is that as we move into the next phase of this presentation, what you'll start to see is how your specific city legislative priorities fit within the context of these three budgets. As we led into the 2022 legislative session, so at the end of 2021, the City Council did adopt a legislative priority document. That legislative priority document really provides the direction to myself and Holly and guides our work and how we work with legislators, not just from the 42nd, but on both sides of the aisle and in leadership positions down in Olympia. This last session, your legislative priorities really focused on three different items: local transportation revenues, funding for the East Plain Booster Pump Facility, and funding for the Marine Drive Reconstruction Project. So I'm going to turn it over to Holly to provide you with an update on each of those three items, and then I'll close this up once she's covered those. Holly? Sorry for the loud noise. Alrighty. So transportation revenue options, we'll start with that one. So two of the city's priorities for this session focused around the goal to increase local revenue options for transportation preservation and maintenance. And this goal has also been prioritized by many other cities across the state. The Joint Transportation Commission did a recent study that identified over $1 billion of unmet funding need for preservation projects for cities across the state. So this continues to be an issue for many, and one that the state made some progress on this session, but we still certainly have some more work to do. Being a border community, Blaine faces its own unique challenges with maintaining local roads, and is an example of how local transportation needs cannot be solved by a one-size-fits-all approach. So the first local gas tax authorization was an effort led by the city, along with Nooksack, Sumas, and Point Roberts sharing support as well. And as you all know, the Blaine community approved a 1 cent border community gas tax increase, which is currently authorized in state law through voter approval. This authorization really came from the acknowledgement that border communities are facing an increased impact on roads from out-of-country traffic that is not otherwise paying their share to utilize those local roads. And the cost to maintain this at the local level continues to go up as well. So the city worked with Representative Shoemake in specific to introduce House Bill 1284 during the 2021 session, which would allow border communities to implement a 2 cent on fuel tax with voter approval. The bill also included an inflation piece that would provide an adjustment based on inflation between 2022 and the time the tax is placed on the ballot. The bill really helped to elevate the issue that session, so during 2021. And we were also in close communication with transportation leadership as they were trying to develop a transportation package during that time as well. And although the bill did not pass during 2021, it did help to highlight the unique needs of border communities and the need for further transportation revenue tools at the local level. The bill was then automatically introduced in 2022, as Brianna mentioned, that every bill from 2021 is reintroduced that didn't make it. And that, so part of, although it didn't pass, part of it was also the conversation really led to also being in the transportation revenue package discussion as well. And that stemmed and partly due to the work that we did that previous session in 2021. So through the hard work through Representative Shoemake and transportation budget leaders understanding the need in advance, the additional cent authorization along with that inflation piece is included in the Move Ahead Washington package. And I'll just reiterate, this is an option for the city to use. And just like the first cent, it must be approved by the Blaine community to move forward. So the second priority was an effort led initially by the city of Walla Walla, and then several other communities joined as well, along with the Association of Washington Cities, which had to do with providing further flexibility around sales tax transportation benefit districts. And Blaine joined this effort as well, as the city approved a sales tax TBD back in 2017 through voter approval. In current statute, a city can develop a sales tax TBD through voter approval, which will expire after 10 years. The city then has the option to seek voter approval once more for that another 10-year authorization. And then after that, the city does not have authority to go back to the voters given that two-time limit in current statute. So last session, House Bill 1523 was introduced and provides cities the option to seek voter approval every 10 years, removing that two-time limit in which a city can go back for voter approval. And ultimately, the bill made significant progress, but did not pass. Similar to the gas tax authorization, this concept was reintroduced, but was added into the Move Ahead Washington package as another local option for cities. And I'll just add, the Move Ahead Washington package went a step further than the bill did originally, and it provides cities with a 0.2% sales tax authorization through voter approval, and an additional 0.1% councilmanically. So some additional flexibility there as well, and again, an option that the city can utilize if you so choose to do so.
Can you repeat what the 0.1% specifically was activated by?
Was activated by councilmanically? Is that?
Yes, that was the word that we.
By you, council. Yes.
By council.
Yes, by council. We use that's kind of a buzzword in.
Yes, that's why I wanted to make it to make.
Yeah, my apologies.
That you would be familiar with that jargon. Thank you.
The next priority on the city's agenda is the East Blaine Water Pump Project. When identifying a project request for this session, we shared two things to keep in mind that I'll just highlight. One, that it would be a supplemental budget year, so funds would be limited. And two, to take into account the legislature's priorities, which we're not limited to, but included, investing in water infrastructure and housing. And this project fit very well into those two major priorities. So we moved forward on this request. It was a $500,000 request within the capital budget. The 42nd legislative delegation was extremely supportive. We had Senator Sefcik submitting the application in the Senate, and we had both Representative Shoemake and Rep. Rule submitting it in the House together. This isn't always the case, but the project was included in both initial House and Senate versions of the budget, which set us up very well for the final budget, including $500,000 for the project. And I'll just note that the average appropriation this year for local community projects was around $373,000. So really a great accomplishment for the city. Brianna, did you want to say
something? Yeah. So as you think back to that overarching budget slide, this funding came out of the capital budget. And as a mid-biennial budget, there's far more limited funds within this capital budget. This was one that's funded by bonds. They didn't issue new bonds. And you'll remember on the slide, only a total of $62 million was appropriated throughout the state. So I just want to emphasize that not many communities received funding this year. The average appropriation, as Holly said, was $373,000. You all not only received an appropriation, but you received above the average. And I think that's something that's worth celebrating.
Would you characterize that both caucuses were favorable to our district and perhaps the 10th LD and the 26th LD getting a lot of extra projects this year, by any chance?
So traditionally, Councilmember Mayor Pro Tem, I'm gonna answer your question very diplomatically. And I'll say that the capital budget is traditionally and remained a bipartisan effort. The capital budget, because it is funded with bonds, does require a bipartisan vote, requires two-thirds approval out of both chambers. And each caucus fed into the priorities and the allocations on where communities receive funding. And certainly those areas of the state anticipated to have closer November 2022 election races receive more funds than other communities.
So the final priority was funding for a Marine Drive reconstruction project. And going into the last few sessions, we were aware that this project would require the legislature to pass a transportation revenue package to be considered. And over the last few years, the city has really been hyper-focused on addressing the delays and congestion along State Route 548 and Bell Road. And as you all know, we were able to secure funding for the Bell Road intersection last year, which was a huge accomplishment. But that project definitely was the main focus for the city and the legislative delegation to identify a funding solution and resolve that for the community.
So this session, we maintained the request for Marine Drive and asked for $4 million. However, very few local transportation projects were included in the Move Ahead Washington package, and we did not receive funding this year. I'll just note, we did speak with our legislators, and one suggestion that both Rep. Rule and Rep. Shoemake shared was to maybe enhance our focus on the bike ped components when making a request for this project in the future. And as Brianna shared, we are seeing the legislature make significant investments around multimodal improvements and trying to move away from that vehicle expansion. So vehicle road expansion, excuse me. So I just wanted to highlight that suggestion as it could open up some other grant funding opportunities or future state funding that the city could potentially pursue. And then in addition to the priorities the city outlines on their legislative agenda, there are several policy items that we monitor or sometimes weigh in on if we need to that could have an effect on the city or do have an effect on the city. So I'll just touch on a few this evening. The legislature enacted over a dozen bills around police reform during the 2021 legislative session. And over the interim, it became evident that there were several unintended consequences stemming from the slate of police reform proposals. And in response to that, the legislature approved three bills this session, making further clarifications. So first, House Bill 1719, which clarifies the use of beanbags, rubber bullets, and other non-penetrative munitions can be used as a de-escalation tactic. House Bill 1735, which clarifies the scenario in which an officer may use physical force to carry out specific tasks. And lastly, House Bill 2037, which defines physical force and when it can be used. And I'll just note that all three of these reforms have already taken effect. The next is honoring local control, which was challenged in many ways this session. We saw bills that would create a statewide approach to middle housing and removed local control over land use decisions. However, none of the legislation that the majority of cities shared concerns with passed this session, but we do expect these conversations to continue and likely resurface for next session. We did make some adjustments to the Open Public Meetings Act that allows for public meetings to declare, to declare a local emergency. So if there is a snowstorm, for example, and you all would like to hold a council meeting remotely, you can now do so. So there were a few other requirements regarding public comment, recordings, and executive sessions as well within that proposal. And the last bill I'll highlight is the 0.09 Economic Development Funding Bill, House Bill 1333. Back in 1997, the legislature authorized rural counties to retain a portion of the state sales tax collected in those counties and to finance public facilities and support economic development. So this is what funds the EDI program that you all are familiar with. And over the last several years, there has been a coalition working to extend this program as it currently limits it's at 25 years after implementation. There's also a criteria a county must meet to be considered rural within the statute, which Whatcom surpassed in 2020. So the bill provided not only that extension, but stated that counties that now exceed that population limit or is no longer a rural community would still be eligible to collect the tax if the program was renewed. The bill made significant progress this session, but didn't pass. Instead, the legislature funded a study for the auditor's office to create a database for all of the programs and projects supported by this program. There was also some uncertainty as to when the program would expire for each county, and we recently received clarifying information from the state sharing the official program expiration dates for each county, with the majority of counties expiring in 2032, including Whatcom. So given that clarifying information, we don't expect the legislature to take on this issue until closer to the program expiration date. So the longevity of this program really remains uncertain at this point. And with that, I'll pass it back to Brianna.
Thank you, Holly. And I,
You know, as we've advised the city on engaging in legislative activities, one of the things we've done is we've advised you all to think of the legislative cycle as a two-year cycle. So as I reflect on the City of Plains legislative program, really think about what all we have accomplished over the last 2 years. And some of the items that we didn't talk about this evening because they didn't come about in the 2022 session, but something that's very notable is the funding that we secured in 2021 for the Bell Road grade separation or Bell Road intersection improvement project. Again, that was an appropriation that the City of Blaine received when not many other communities received appropriations. So over the two-year period, we received the Bell Road intersection improvement funding, the gas tax authorization funding, the TBD sales tax authorization, and then in the capital budget, the downtown revitalization funding in 2021, and then another $500,000 this year. So between the transportation and capital budgets, there's a lot of great successes over that two-year period. We're this evening really highlighting just the successes of that second year of that two-year cycle. That type of success really doesn't come about without a very collaborative and team effort, and we have the honor and privilege of being one part of that team. The other parts of that team that are very important are your 42nd district legislators, who we've talked about, but also your city staff, who respond to a lot of emails and inquiries from us, provide us with information. And then you all, as the elected leaders of the community. I know that Mayor Pro Tem May, we had you come down to Olympia on various occasions to testify, and would hope to engage many of you all as well in our future efforts. So it's been a successful 2 years. It's been a team effort to accomplish that success. Blaine is politically in a situation that's where you're able to capture a lot of benefit for the community, and that's unique right now. And our role and our guidance to you all, as it has been, is to advise you on how to accomplish the most for the community. As we look moving forward, we're anxious to see the outcome of the November 2022 general election. We have new districts, new legislative districts, and you all have some pretty exciting races up here in the 42nd in terms of who will be your representation. At a more global legislative level, we're anticipating that Democrats are likely to either maintain the number of seats they have or have slightly fewer seats. And that's sort of like a political pundit analysis at a very high level, and fairly well accepted across the industry. I think we all know that sort of that political pundit looking into the tea leaves is not 100% reliable, so don't take it to the bank. I'm just sharing with you what the general word on the street is in terms of how we're anticipating those November elections to go for the state legislature. With that in mind, as we look at next steps, we'll be advising the city on the development of your 2023 legislative agenda. And again, we encourage you to think about that as a part of a two-year cycle. So as you develop the 2023 legislative agenda, we're really thinking about it in terms of 2023 and 2024. Our hope would be to have that legislative agenda finalized with you all in the fall, as the legislature is going to begin preparing for their 2023 work in September and December, and then the legislative session will begin on January 9th. With that, we're happy to answer any questions that you may have about the subjects we covered or our role or next steps moving forward, really anything at all.
Does any of the council members have any follow-up questions for the presenters here? And when you're talking about the timeline for new bill formulation, even in an election year, wouldn't you characterize it sometimes even in August and September, some things are being put together behind the scenes so that they can hit the ground running. The newly elected legislators are unlikely to be able to construct entire bills during the month of December on their way to starting their terms.
Yeah, great question, Mayor Pro Tem. So at the very top of this slide, it says lobbying is a year-round effort. And that's something that I would just really want to emphasize. There are a lot of stakeholder groups that have already identified what they plan to request for in 2023. And they are already out talking to legislators and legislative candidates saying, this is what we need, this is what we want, and they're doing that work now. The sooner we can identify the city's legislative agenda, the sooner Holly and I can get to work on it. I think the legislative preparation activities really begin in earnest at a very detailed level in that August, September timeframe, but folks are already engaging in those conversations now.
Anything more for the presenters?
Question. On the gas tax thing, who is it that put together the spearheaded the extra 1 cent a gallon?
The initial?
Yeah.
The, like back from like the initial?
From the additional 1 penny a gallon. How was that brought up? Was that brought up by our council?
It was included on the city's legislative priorities. So yes, your previous council, the council in 2021, adopted those legislative priorities, which is what provided us the direction to seek that additional
penalty. Where did they get their information, you know? Because my so I can, you know, a lot of times when they put these taxes on, they don't talk to the people that actually do the work. And I actually own a gas station here, and I have for 30 years. So every time you put a penny on a gallon here, it deters customers from coming to Blaine. Because, like right now, I pay 40 cents more per gallon than you can buy it for in Bellingham. So same place. So if we keep adding on taxes on the board, because the oil companies know the price of gas in Canada. They know the price of gas here. So to me, why would you add on another tax if we're paying 40 cents higher on average, more than Bellingham? So when customers come through my station, first thing they say is, why don't you compete with them? What do we say?
So the conversation that I recall from having occurred was more about the desire to have that conversation locally, so that you all can have that debate and choose whether you want to impose that tax locally. So I think the idea was to allow for that dialogue to occur.
It's frustrating because they've never come to the actual people that are actually doing it, you know? If I was coming out of your job and started putting taxes on your money, you people would look at me a little different too.
So Councilmember Hill, they take whatever the city tells them is the priorities and they just try and translate that into action. It was the Bonnie Onion-led council that made the decision to tell them to seek that. And we have a different council now. Although there was 1/7 of the council last year was another gas station owner. So there was a gas station representative on council when we were promoting that at the time. But again, their job is to just take whatever we ask them to do and try and translate that into action.
Yeah, expressing where sometimes maybe you could pass that on to the people that are.
And council, it's probably worth noting that, although Brianna's correct, it was on the 2021 legislative agenda. I think it was first initially added to the 2017 mm-hmm. legislative agenda. So
mm-hmm.
it was a direct work with the council in place at that time to develop that. And it's been something that the council has supported for about 5 years. So it wasn't just something that came up in 2021 and got handled in 2022. It's been, I believe, since 2017.
So back to Dennis Olson and Clark Cotner, yeah, there.
Not sure exactly.
Okay. Okay. Great. Well, is there any other comments you had for us in your presentation
today? No, I mean, I guess I would just offer Councilmember Hill is that, you know, to our next steps, we're going to be working on developing the city's 2023 legislative agenda, and you all as members of council have an opportunity to provide input and feedback into the development of that process. So to the extent that you don't feel like you were able to weigh in on the development of the 2022 agenda, you will certainly have that opportunity for 2023.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for your presentation. City Manager has some additional comments for us.
I do, yes. Thank you. So
what I wanted to touch base with on that little couple of items, but what Brianna just kind of closed with there is what
is very important about the work that they help us with is to give us recommendations and indications of what would be favorably received at the legislature. So they're kind of keeping the pulse of the legislature, which helps us to develop items that we then propose. The council really does fully develop the legislative agenda. It is the things that you want to see happen. But some of what, for example, I bring forward are things that they've said. And a great example a couple of years ago was there's a real appetite for economic development, downtown revitalization type projects. And so we put together the downtown revitalization proposal, which is something we have been trying to get done for many years, replacing the sidewalks and other things downtown. And it was like, well, that's great information to know. We put that together, council approved it as part of the legislative agenda, and we got $500,000 in capital funding for that. That we wouldn't have proposed to that. I wouldn't have known to give that as an item for your consideration without them kind of keeping the pulse of what's happening there. So it's really important insight that they provide on the creation of the agenda, but bear in mind, of course, it is fully the council's agenda. I think that it's important to look back more than just a couple of years. I think that it's we don't want to shortchange some of the other successes that we've had, which are money for the East Plain infrastructure, about $1.6 million that went towards that. Some of that money is actually going towards the Leonard Street sewer rehabilitation. $500,000 that we didn't spend in the first phase is going towards something that Bernie's department's working on, resolving the collapsing sewers and issues that we have in the Leonard Streets that will not only provide for that neighborhood, but also help to convey the sewage from East Plain. Marine Park Shoreline was an interesting one. We applied for a grant for Marine Park Shoreline restoration, and Brianna was wise to let us know, here's where you fall on that grant list, but the funding hasn't been allocated yet. So we worked and lobbied to try to have the funding level brought far enough down on that list that our project got funded, and we did. So we have $500,000 that will be matched with some city money for shoreline rehabilitation down in Marine Park. Just another item I wanted to note was I had a really great meeting with one of our port commissioners, Mr. Bell, last week, and we were talking about priorities, and one of the priorities that we share is Marine Drive. And I shared with him the feedback that we received on that project potentially being more viable if it doesn't include vehicular access to the pier, but turning it into a pedestrian promenade. So having it be a full service street out as far as the industries out on the wharf area, but then going towards more of a pedestrian promenade beyond that, which was dismissed by council years ago, but might be something that you'll want to reconsider this year when we're looking at our legislative agenda. And Commissioner Bell thought that that was a very positive thing, and that his impression was the perspective of the Port Commission might be different than it was several years ago, just like yours might be different than it was several years ago when we initially looked at that project. And at that point, the philosophy was it needed to include vehicular access out onto the pier, just as has been enjoyed in the past. But that, as we've been told from our legislators, some feedback there was it's pretty unlikely to get funding for that, but it would be, you know, much more likely to get funding as a serve the industries, and then where it goes out as a more of a recreational facility, make it for recreation access. You'd still be able to drive a vehicle out there for removing trash or doing maintenance, but it wouldn't just be open for somebody to go out and park over the water.
Would there be a post in the middle of the driving area that a maintenance worker would remove, that kind of thing?
Probably, yeah. Removable bollards would be typical. That was actually one of the design options that was reviewed by council back in the day, which was, at this point, I would guess it was probably 7 or 8 years ago. So really great feedback, and that may have support at the commission as well. And they are kind of our partners on that. They are likely to be contributing some of the funds, and at a minimum paying for reconstruction of the break wall and things like that that are part of that roadway. The roadway kind of is part of the harbor protection, and it's a sort of a chicken and egg thing. But that's all I wanted to add in there. Thank you.
If there's nothing further, then I would be looking at us ending the study session and having a break until the 6 o'clock regularly scheduled city council meeting. Is there any other items that council needs handled at this study session? No? Okay, and we conclude the study session. We'll be back at 6:00.